The FWA Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the official FWA podcast here with William Hill. Each and every week we get one of the best sports writers in the land to join us on the podcast, and this week no different. We've got Vicky O'Vice, the Sun's sports writer and a Women in Football board member, who joins myself, Dave Callner, here to look ahead to the FA Cup this weekend. First of all, good morning and a warm welcome to Vicky.
Morning.
I'm looking forward to this round of the FA Cup, Vicky.
I do. I always love FA Cup third round. It's one of the sort of best weekends in football. And I think this year it's going to be more interesting than ever because a lot of the so-called big clubs are even struggling in the Premier League against smaller clubs. So it'd be fascinating to see some of the ties.
Vicky, we're going to spin through the televised matches, and we'll start with Friday night's match, 7:55 kick-off between Exeter and Liverpool. Exeter 13-2 to win the game. The draw is 100-30, and Liverpool in the betting at 4-9. Enhanced odds here, Tom Nicholls to score and Exeter to win is 14-1. Christian Benteke to score and Liverpool to win 11-8 here with William Hill. On paper, it should be plain sailing for Liverpool, Vicky, but they've got plenty of injuries at the moment.
They've got a lot of injuries, and Klopp was obviously concerned after the Stoke game the other night, which will have given them a bit of a boost. I saw them against Watford the other week and they were absolutely shocking. You'd still edge it for Liverpool to win, but 14-1 is pretty good. And for those of us who do remember, Exeter City got a replay with Man United. I thought it was sooner than that. It was 2001, and 2005. Forgive me, 2005. And if you remember, it helped Exeter survive. They were in dire straits at the time, and it gave them a lifeline. And they've still got Paul Tisdale there, who's a great manager in the lower leagues.
Have you seen any difference with Klopp's arrival in the way Liverpool are playing?
Well, they're not consistent. You see the game against Southampton, and you think, hey, they're back to the old days, and he sorted them out. And then, as I say, the Watford game, the defending was absolutely shocking. And he said himself that they let a goal in within a minute, and their heads just went down. And it's almost like they didn't have the mentality to cope, which he said was the most surprising thing. Now, you've got players going to a smaller ground, and if Exeter nick a goal, you wonder how they're going to deal with that.
Exeter, big price to win this game, 13-2 to win it. And if you're looking at that enhanced odds offer, Tom Nicholls to score and Exeter to win is in the market at 14-1. I think they'll be searching for a striker in the summer as well, Liverpool, because Daniel Sturridge seems to be forever injured. Christian Benteke maybe not performing as Klopp would have anticipated.
No, and Benteke again, he's either brilliant or practically invisible. he had that great season at Villa, and then he himself had lots of injuries as well. So, but you look down the team sheet, and they've had players in the past, your Owen, Torres even, Gerrard, and they don't seem to have any standout players. And they don't also, what stood out with the Watford game, Watford don't have any standout players, but they gel as a team, and Deeney and people who've come through lower leagues seem to sort of take sort of Liverpool by surprise, really.
Mm. Let's talk about Aston Villa. You mentioned them briefly there. They're going to Wickham on Saturday afternoon, 12:45. This game kicks off. Wickham 12-5. The draw 9-4. Aston Villa in the betting at 21-20. Such is the situation with Aston Villa at the moment, Vicky. Their odds against here with William Hill to win at a League Two side on Saturday lunchtime. They've actually won their last seven FA Cup ties against fourth tier opposition. But they're in dire straits at the moment. I think Premier League survival looks to be beyond them, Vicky.
It does, although they still keep saying, yes, we can do it. And there were quotes the other day by the sort of hierarchy. But you'd have to think Wickham must be rubbing their hands at this. Because confidence, as you say, must be at rock bottom at Villa. Wickham themselves famously got to the semi-finals. That was the one in 2001. And also there was the amazing 8-3 match between Wickham and Villa in the League Cup. And I think I'm right in saying there's one of the players, is it Matt Blumfeld, who's still at Wickham? But you must think they're there for the taking.
Well, would you fancy Wickham to win this match then, Vicky?
I'd either fancy them to win or at least get a draw.
Yeah. Remy Gard is obviously, even though he's early in his tenure with Aston Villa, I suppose he's coming under pressure already because there's been very little in terms of upturn in their form since he arrived. I think the board were anticipating he was going to get those French players going and get this team really working, but that's not materialised.
It's not, and you normally get, I mean, even Klopp's experienced that with the Southampton game. You normally get an immediate lift or a couple of results just from having someone new in, and it seems to sort of change his psyche round. And you're right, they haven't got that. They don't seem to, I mean, they've said they're going to make signings during the transfer window, but you wonder who's going to come in at this stage. And again, it's just, I mean, it's actually very sad because the club haven't learned from being in a similar position for the past two or three seasons, and they've almost taken it for granted. Oh, well, we've escaped relegation before. And there's only so many times you can keep doing that, really. I mean, the Sunderland game, I mean, that was huge, huge defeat for them.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk, Vicky, about mismanagement in terms of in the back room. Do you think that's the case?
I think they've made sort of poor decisions, and people now look at, I mean, Gerard Houllier used to get stick there, and you look at him, and I think they finished ninth that season or something. They can only dream of that. Lambert then said he was going to bring young players in, and then that all went wrong, and I think they got very lucky with Benteke with that season. They stayed up. They clung on again last year. You've got an owner who doesn't seem to even turn up at matches. They've tried selling the club. They tried selling it a year ago. There were negotiations going on with another American consortium. Tony Adams was involved in trying to get a consortium together. That sort of fell through. And you wonder about even that, because obviously if they're relegated, the price is going to go down. And then they're left with a lot of players who are on big wages, and, you know, they're a championship club. And we've seen what's happened to, you know, your Bradfords, your Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday. There's a lot of clubs who were in Premier League and are now ended up in League One, too, and have taken a long time to rebuild.
Yeah, Wickham 11-8. Yeah, Leeds United, I suppose, another Yorkshire club. Wickham drawn a bet 11-8 in that market. We'll move on to the tea time kickoff on Saturday. Manchester United versus Sheffield United. Should be a cracker, this one. 2-7 Manchester United to win it. The draw is 19-5. Sheffield United in the betting at 17-2. Enhanced odds, Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win is 5-4. Billy Sharp to score and Sheffield United to win in the betting at 25-1. Manchester United got a much needed win against Swansea last weekend. Both Wayne Rooney and Anthony Martial got on the score sheet. And Martial looked devastating on that left-hand side. I think they need to utilise his pace on the wings more often, Manchester United.
Well, I'm going to come clean here because I'm a Sheffield United fan.
Okay.
I know a lot of people have been looking and saying, oh, maybe Sheffield United can do it. Actually, I don't think they can. I think a year ago, under Nigel Clough, they might have had a chance, who ironically did use wingers, you know, something that Man United can only dream of at the moment. They had three amazing cup runs under Clough, got to the semi-finals of the FA Cup 2 years ago, semi-finals of the League Cup last year, and also did reasonably well in the FA Cup. But they've been really struggling under Nigel Adkins, really struggling in the league, and they went out of the League Cup very, very early on. So, as I say, I think a year ago under Nigel, they might have had a chance even at Old Trafford. Billy Sharp, again, hit and miss. They have got a young striker called Che Adams, who Clough found at Ilkeston, who I gather Man City are looking at. And he scored a few goals last season, came on against Southampton, made his debut, scored, got two against Spurs. So he's one to look out for as well. But again, if he starts, because Adkins has not always picked him, I think he's got seven goals this season.
He's 18-5 here with William Hill to score any time, so that's not a bad price.
Well, as I say, put your money on him if he's more likely, I think, than Sharp. But they, as I say, they have struggled, and their confidence isn't great because they were seen as shoo-ins for the playoffs. And apart from, I think, one weekend, they've been outside the playoffs most of the season.
What was the performance like against Peterborough? Because they lost that game 3-2, but from what I read, Vicky, they played quite well in that match.
They played quite well and they lost their concentration. It was a late goal and it was a pretty good goal. Even Adkins said afterwards, well, you know, can't argue with that one. But as I said, they've had some sort of really, really strange results this season.
OK, maybe look at Che Adams to get on the score sheet there, 18-5, but Manchester United to win that tie in the betting at 2-7.
The other thing, of course, the pressure is really on Man U in some ways, because they're obviously, you know, you say they're out of the title chase, but who knows this season, not in the League Cup. So if they want to win a trophy, they're a bit like Arsenal have been in past seasons. They really need to sort of put, you know, their eggs into winning the FA Cup, really, to take some of the pressure off. If Van Gaal's still in the job by May.
I was just going to mention that, Vicky, because he's been a very short price for a long time here with William Hill to be next manager to leave. But that appears to have cooled off slightly, the calls for his head in recent weeks, strangely.
Yeah, although you only need two results, I suppose, two or three results to start going against him. And I say if there was an upset, then, you know, all the spotlight will be on him again. You know, no Champions League. When that starts coming around again in, you know, later this month, next month. And so...
Yeah, it could be a difficult time for Van Gaal. On to Sunday's matches then. A couple of live Sunday matches as well in the FA Cup this weekend. We'll start with Chelsea versus Scunthorpe, which is a 2 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Chelsea 2-11, the draw 5-1, and Scunthorpe 12-1. Enhanced odds, Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win is even money. Paddy Madden to score and Scunthorpe to win at 33-1. Chelsea, Vicky, really turned it on away at Palace on Sunday, and they seem to be freed now that the Jose Mourinho shackles have been removed.
Well, that's what we were saying earlier. With it, what hasn't happened with Remy Gard appears to have happened with Hiddink, that at least there's a slight upturn in their fortunes, and the players seem to have, you know, a lot of the players liked him from when he was at Chelsea before. They're obviously still playing catch up in the league. Obviously they've got the ghost of Bradford, you would have thought, from last season, and be mindful of that. But given they're at Stamford Bridge, you'd still sense that they could do. But as I say, Bradford, you know, did the business. And also at Scunthorpe, you've got Mark Robins, who the old sort of Man United player who famously kept Fergie in a job when they finally won a trophy and he scored.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an interesting angle into this game. Chelsea 2-11, the draw 5-1, Scunthorpe 12-1. If you fancy Chelsea on the handicap to win by a big margin in this game, you can play Chelsea -1 or -2 in the match if you fancy a landslide in this one. -1 Chelsea is 4-9. -2 for Chelsea is in the betting at 13-10. Tottenham versus Leicester, the final game we are going to look at, Vicky. This is a 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Tottenham 6-10 to win the match. The draw 11-4 and Leicester in the betting at 4-1. Enhanced odds, Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win 2-1. Riyad Mahrez, if he plays, him to score and Leicester to win 9-1. I think this is an intriguing matchup because the most interesting aspect in this match will be team news, I think, Vicky, because both these teams going well in the league, and I don't know if they'll want to risk going on a big cup run this season.
No, you're right about that, and who'd have thought that at the beginning of the season? And I think it's for a neutral, but again, it depends on the team. It could be one of the standout ties. And again, even before my time, it's a repeat of apparently one of the greatest FA Cup finals, which was 1961, Spurs and Leicester.
Right.
Yeah, you've got, I mean, if you think of the players, if they play full strength, you've got Mahrez, you've got Vardy for Leicester, you've got Ali, you've got Kane for Spurs. And you'd think it would be sort of open attacking football. But given that Spurs are chasing for that coveted Champions League place, which they keep season after season missing out on, and Leicester are in this unprecedented position, you do actually wonder. Leicester, of course, and they've both been in cup finals in recent years as well. So but it will be an interesting team selection.
It will indeed. And you mentioned Dele Alli there. Vicky, he looked quite tired against Everton. I'm just hoping he's not going to burn out, because thinking ahead to England's campaign in the Euros in the summer,
yeah,
he's looking like he could become an integral cog for them.
Yeah, he is, but he's still, I wouldn't use the term raw, but you know, people have to remember he was only at MK Dons before, and it is about managing all that as well, and managing all the expectations. But it's nice to see sort of players coming through from lower leagues, I think, as well. Mm. And notably, in this transfer window, a lot of bigger clubs seem to be now scouring non-league, looking for the next Vardy as well. So, but you're right. It's whether he's not used to. Well, he ought to be used. I suppose, you know, Championship, you play a lot of football, but not obviously at that pace and intensity.
Who do you fancy in this one?
I don't know. I knew you'd ask me that. I think it's the hardest one to gauge.
Could be a draw, I suppose.
It could be a draw. And again, it is down to whether what's on the team sheet. There's a few ties like that. You know, Watford, Newcastle, you think. They're both managers are saying, oh, they want to put out a full-strength team. But you think, well, you know, Newcastle are trying to stay up, and Watford, you know, are they more interested in the league as well?
Yeah.
But I don't have.
It's tough,
really,
because
hard.
I'm thinking about the draw here, Vicky, and then I'm thinking,
What were the odds for the draw?
The odds for the draw is 11-4, but do either of these two teams want another game in the season? That's the question, isn't it? If it is a draw after 90.
I mean, unless they hedge their bets. I mean, both of them have got enough, you'd have thought, sort of a big enough squad to stick people on the bench and then bring them on. Mm.
We don't have to have a bet in every match, do we? That's the key.
Do you want me to stick my neck out?
No, it's fine.
Given that Che Adams will probably have no, not even a sniff in front of the goal, having said sort of he's a better chance. I'll go for Leicester.
Okay,
Leicester
big price. Leicester City are 4-1. And I know before the podcast you mentioned a couple of, one tie that stood out to you that's not being televised this weekend.
Yeah, and I don't understand why, and that's Eastleigh Bolton. And given Eastleigh have never, they're the only non-league team left, which is unusual because you sometimes have a couple, two or three, and they've never got to first round proper before. And of course they're at home, they're up against Bolton, who can't even afford to pay their players' wages. They're an example of, you know, look Villa at what can happen, you know, if it's not managed and you go sort of like through the leagues. There was a nice line, I think we were running, one of the pieces we're running on Saturday morning, that the players have asked to go to, the Eastleigh players want to go to Vegas if they win, and the chairman's up for that because he took them to Vegas when they won one of the conference promotions. Meanwhile, Bolton can't even afford to, you know, pay their players' wages. And you'd have thought that Eastleigh, again, would be up for that and should sort of get into the second round.
That's very interesting. 21-10 Eastleigh are to win. So over 2-1 Eastleigh to beat Bolton. A bigger price than Bolton, who are only 23-20 with the draw there at 23-10. Vicky, thank you for your company this morning.
Not at all. Enjoy the weekend.
It should be a cracker. If you want to follow Vicky on Twitter, by the way, it's at Vicky O'Vice. So do make sure you follow Vicky on Twitter.
Yeah, for my predictions that'll be horribly wrong and you'll lose lots of money.
Vicky, thank you for your company, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future.
Thank you. Bye.